Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title of our message this Sunday morning is Sit Down and Rest a Spell. Based on our gospel reading today from Mark 6, listen to these verses one more time. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat." And they went away in the boat with Jesus to a quiet place by themselves. Again, our theme, come and sit down and rest a spell. I invite you to follow the sermon outline. You'll find that outline on the last page of your worship folder this morning. Come, sit down, put up your feet, and rest a spell. That's an old-fashioned expression used probably by our parents or grandparents, and I'm wondering if any of you hear that used in your lives today. Come and rest a spell. I've been asked that question two or three times this week. What does this spell mean? Well, it's actually now even a popular saying in the southern parts of the USA. Hey, y'all, come over and sit down and rest a spell. What does a spell mean? Well, I have a number of hobbies. Some are time wasters. Some are just enjoyable. But I like to look up the meaning of old sayings. And in this case, a spell comes from the old English word gespalia, which means substitute. So, for example, if a group of workers in a factory had been working overtime and they needed a rest, a whole nother group of workers would come up to be their substitute, to be their gespalia. They'd provide for the workers a time of rest and relaxation. They would spell you off from work so you could rest a spell. My grandma used to say this to us all the time, especially in the summertime, in the heat of the summer, working on the dairy farm. She'd say to the men as she rang her triangle, "Come on in, men. Have a cold drink. Put up your feet and rest a spell." And the older I get, the more I am seeing the value of rest and relaxation and meditation and reflection. And the unhealthiness of being so darned busy all the time. So darn busy, many of us could agree, it's like we're running around like a chicken with our heads cut off. That would be another interesting saying to learn the derivation of. But since I was raised on a farm, I can tell you exactly where that came from. Another day. Today we're talking about busyness. I'm too busy. How often have you heard someone else say that to you? Or you said that to somebody else? I'm too busy. It can be said that busyness is the disease of our time. And the question this morning we want to ask is busyness a badge of honor or a symptom of a problem? How are you? Oh, I'm so busy. This response today almost seems to be worn like a badge of honor. But I wonder, could being too busy also be a sign of a spiritual problem? Look at the apostles in today's lesson from Mark chapter 6. They had been busy healing and teaching and preaching and spreading the gospel. Verse 31 says, "For many were coming and going to them, and they had no leisure even to eat." And what did Jesus do? He did not give them another task to do. Instead, he did give them an invitation. It was time, he said, to come away with me. And this is what verse 31 says. Jesus says, "Come with me to a quiet place." It was time to set aside everything that so absolutely filled their lives, good things though they were. It was time to sit down with Jesus and to rest a spell. And once there, in a quiet place with their Lord, Jesus gave them what they needed, what we need. He gave them rest for their souls. He gave them care. He gave them teaching from God's Word. Rest. They were able to set aside for a moment all of their to-do lists and their busy schedules and their blackberries, if they had them, or blueberries or raspberries or whatever you call those things. People are always checking. They set them aside. He gave them care. We can almost hear our precious Lord saying to his closest friends, "Guys, come with me. You who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest." Teaching. I wonder what he spoke to them about. Maybe finding rest and strength in the arms of their Heavenly Father and not living their lives as if everything depended on them. Does that sound familiar? Could you use this kind of rest today? Almost every one of us could. Because far too often we can be so busy with many things that we never pause to ask what really is important. What is that one thing really needed in our life? Will we take a deep breath, slow down and pause long enough to discover it? Will we heed the words of our dear Lord Jesus, who said to us, "What does it profit a person to gain the whole world, yet lose their soul?" I must admit, I have some concerns for many young people today. They're just too busy all the time. It's not healthy physically or mentally or spiritually. For example, I just looked down the road from our house, right next to the Diplomat Bakery, that is. Many of you know where that's at. Next to it is a tutoring business. This tutoring business is especially busy these summer months. Why? Not to help young folks catch up with the subject they're weak on. Those young people are there to get ahead, to advance, to speed up their academic process. No time for summer vacation. No time to just be a child and get dirty and play. Hurry, hurry, keep busy. Get infected with that disease that already plagued your parents. Busyness with no time to rest. But I'm also concerned with some families in our congregation, families of all ages. How many times have I tried to make a home visit or have a conversation on the phone, and I hear the same response? "Well, Pastor, that sounds good, but we're just too busy. I've just got too many things I have to do." Why? Is busy really better? Are we trading life's simple joys for packed calendars and ulcers? Look at your own life. Is busy really better? In 33 years of ministry, I have never spoken to a person on their deathbed who have ever told me, "Pastor, I wish I could have gone just to one more business meeting. I wish I could have squeezed two more events into last Saturday morning." What is that one thing really needed in our lives? And will you take a deep breath and pause long enough to discover it? Will you sit down with our Lord Jesus and rest a spell? Now, there's another biblical story that deals with exactly the same issue. It's about two sisters. One was named Mary and one was named Martha. We have a number of Marthas in our congregation, not by name, but by practice. You know who you are, male and female. Listen to the text from Luke 10. Jesus and his disciples were on their way, and he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister named Mary, and she sat at the Lord's feet, listening to everything he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations she had to make. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord," we can just hear her, "don't you care my sister has left me to do all this work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." We see in the text that Mary sat at Jesus' feet. That's a Hebrew expression meaning to act as a student, to give respect to a teacher, to quietly slow down to receive guidance and direction. Mary had made Jesus' chair a pulpit. She had made her place at his feet a church pew and her home a church sanctuary. But Sister Martha was too busy. Verse 40 says she was distracted by many things. She decided she had to clean the house, prepare the meal, get the dusting done, get everything ready because Jesus is coming to our house today. Now, none of these things were bad things that Martha was busy with. But the point is, they got in the way of her being at Jesus' feet. And she was so upset that her sister Mary had said no to this busyness so she could have quiet time with Jesus. Now, what about you and me today? Ask yourselves, what are the things in my life that are getting in the way of me and maybe my family getting in the way of us being at Jesus' feet? I saw a newspaper cartoon once called The Small Society. This cartoon aims its humor at exposing the realities of our modern life. One such cartoon depicted a father and a son having a father-son talk. The teenage boy is slouched down in the lazy boy chair, looking very dejected. And here's what the father said to him, and I quote, "Well, son, of course, we all want a purpose in life. But I promise you that in a little while, you'll be so busy working and making a living, you won't even think about it anymore." My dear friends, today's message is a call to join Mary and join the apostles to sit at Jesus' feet as he offers you the opportunity. Do you hear him calling to you? Come away with me. You, yes, you. Come away with me to a quiet place. In other words, put your feet up and rest a spell with Jesus. Will your quiet place be a personal or a family time of prayer or devotion? Bible reading from a devotional like the Portals of Prayer devotionals. We gave those out last week. Some didn't get them. We'll have them at the rear table. A nice little devotional books that we get every 3 months. They're yours to take so you can have this quiet time with your Lord and with your family. And last week, I printed what I thought was plenty, but we ran out of the Daily Bible Reading Guide, a device that you can use spending 15 minutes a day, read through the entire Bible in a year. I have another stack back there. The ushers will give them away if you didn't get one last week. These are just little tools we can use to go away, to sit and rest a spell and have quiet time with our Lord. And let me use this morning's sermon to publicly thank my wife, Beverly, for slowing me down, believe it or not, slowing me down long enough to read to me the daily devotion and prayer from this Portals of Prayer and to bring us together to the feet of our Lord as we need this quiet time with him as well. Now, your quiet place can also be faithful and consistent attendance in God's house of worship and at Bible study. What a wonderful place to come to sit at Jesus' feet, that he can speak to your heart and give you what you really need. And my prayer for each person here is that you would see a Sunday morning in the Lord's house is not just one of many options you can squeeze into a Sunday morning, but that it would be the number one priority for you and for your family. Do you know that the word Sabbath means rest? No coincidence there. Maybe your quiet place is a personal time of prayer and inviting God to speak to your heart. This can be in your home or in a special place. I have a special place like this. If you're ever looking for me and can't find me here or at home, I have a bench on the dike overlooking the Fraser River just beyond our house at the south end of Two Road. And there I have my quiet time with my Lord on a regular basis. I need that time. Now, it's very possible for you to combine all three of these things: family devotions, Sunday worship, personal prayer time. More than one quiet place with your Lord is okay. And don't you listen to the lie of that devil who will whisper into your ear, "But you don't have time. Your life is too busy. You are too important." Don't listen to his lie when he says to you, "You don't have time for this quiet time with your Lord." When we join Sister Mary and the apostles at Jesus' feet in a quiet place, we will discover the one thing that's needed. Jesus said to Martha, "You're busy with many things, but only one thing is needed." It's the one thing that Jesus gave to his apostles in Mark chapter 6. We can hear him saying to them, "Boys, I know you're tired. Boys, I know you're hassled. Come with me to a quiet place. Let me take care of you. Come, rest a spell with me." It's the one thing that Mary had that Martha missed. Martha's motto was, "Don't just sit there, do something." But Jesus' invitation was completely the opposite. He said, "Don't just keep doing something. Sit here." It's the one thing that you and I can't live without. When we learn, hopefully sooner than later, busy is not better. It's the one thing, the only thing, that can take us from the terrible busyness of this short life to the eternal rest in heaven with God forever. What is it? It's the good news of the true rest that we are given in Jesus Christ our Lord. And when you do a biblical study of the concept of God's rest, you find there's 4 points to it. I didn't have room in your outline to include these points, but you're going to soon see on the screen, one by one, these 4 points. I invite you, if you would, take a pencil in the pew in front of you and jot these down on your sermon outline. Let's look at one by one. First of all, being in God's presence gives us rest. Who is Jesus Christ? He is Almighty God in human flesh, who comes to us and who continues to come to us. He gives us his holy presence through the preaching of his word, through the sharing of his holy meal. Through this time with him and time and prayer, being in God's presence gives us rest. Number two, God's rest brings us peace from our enemies. Jesus is the number one answer to that devil and all of his lies. Being in Jesus' holy presence can shut the mouth of that liar who would try to drag you down. Third, God's rest means the burden of our sin is taken away. I haven't done this for a while with you, but would you turn your eyes to our Savior upon the cross over the altar? Look at him there laying down his precious life for you and for me and for the sins of the world. Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus' death on the cross for your sins and for mine has lifted sin's burdens from your shoulders. You no longer need to bear the burden and guilt of your sin anymore. Being in the true rest that Christ our Lord gives us, He has set us free. In Jesus' name, I say to you, receive today the rest that only He can give. Your sins are forgiven. And finally, God's rest is finally that eternal rest in heaven. Jesus' resurrection from death has opened the doors to heaven, that eternal rest, to all who humbly turn to Him in faith. Now, there's a famous hymn writer. Before we get to that, I should say, how about the last slide? Here we now see these four all together. Being in God's presence gives us rest. God's rest brings us peace from our enemy, the devil. God's rest means the burden of our sin is taken away. God's rest is finally that eternal rest in heaven. And now to wrap up this sermon, to round third and head toward home, I'm going to share with you a story about Fanny Crosby. I'm curious, how many of you have ever heard the name Fanny Crosby before? I see about three or four hands. Well, today you'll learn about Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby wrote hundreds and hundreds of gospel songs and hymns. Hymns like this. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And this one also. To God be the glory, great things He has done. Hundreds of other hymns. What's amazing is that she wrote all these hundreds of hymns, even though she was blind her entire life. And one well-meaning pastor once said to her, Fanny, I think it's a great pity that when God showered upon you all these gifts, He didn't give you the gift of sight. And she quickly replied, Pastor, you know, if I had one wish, it would be this, that I was born blind. Why? He asked her. And she said, two reasons. Since my earthly eyes can't see, they can't be distracted by all those many things that seeing people seem to have their eyes distracted with and busy with in this life. And secondly, she said, because when I get to heaven, the first sight that will gladden these eyes will be the glorious face of my Savior Jesus. Dear Lord, today we ask You to blind our eyes to the things in our lives that really aren't so important, and to help us to accept Your invitation on a regular basis to join Mary and the apostles sitting at Your feet, to come away with You, dear Lord, to a quiet place so that with You, dear Lord Jesus, we can sit and rest a spell. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.